Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody out tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to kind of get on in the script. I got a lot of reading to do tonight. So y'all going to have to bear with me. Amen. It's good to see everybody. Good to see you, Brother Lonnie. Yeah, Brother Stephen, I don't see you. Brother Bob, God bless you. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, ain't it? Whether it's Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, it don't matter. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I appreciate Brother Jeff allowing us to be here. Every time I call Brother Jeff, he'd say, come on. I said, I guess he liked me a little bit. But I really appreciate his heart, you know, to allow us to be able to come and minister to the saints of God here. I really appreciate that. And we just want to just, some things that's been on my heart here, just want to maybe share it with you tonight, if the Lord will help us. While you're standing, I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians. And we'll go to chapter 4, very familiar scripture. Brother Jeff, I forgot to tell you, Brother Barry Coffey, did you talk to him today? He said, keep him in prayer. The tests came out positive. And he said something about they got him in a quarantine or something like that. So he said, keep him in prayer. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's go to verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. And Father, we're so thankful for these words because they are very comforting, because this is the time and the hour that we look forward to, that we'll be caught up to meet you in the air one of these days, Lord. And Lord, we don't know when that day will be, but we sense even in our spirits and our hearts that that day is soon to come, real quickly, oh God. That's been said through the years, but we see it more and more through scriptures and modern events and things that are taking place. We can surely say that we see these things. And Father, we just come tonight. We pray for the church back home. We remember Brother Barry in prayer. May you be with him and his family, oh God, and be with my family. And may you just help us all, Father. We want to commit all things to you, oh God, and we just pray that you help us tonight. And Lord, just speak to our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to try not to be long, even though I got a lot on my heart. Praise the Lord. I keep forgetting. I thought you had a little hanger or something right here. Near the water. Okay. All right. Anyway. Praise the Lord. It's just really good to be here tonight. And as you can see up on the screen, which didn't help me good, I left my glasses in the motel, but I can see it good enough. We want to minister on We Which Are Alive and Remain. And the subtitle we have here is Enduring to the End. And this right here kind of been on my heart for a while, because you find that in the time that we're living in, people are struggling with enduring. And I want to, maybe if God would help us to see why those things are so, you see people dropping left and right from the message. And I'm not here to dwell on negative or nothing like that, but I just want to go through scriptures and then maybe show why I believe those things are so. And we know those things was going to happen, these things are going to come. But I also want to talk about the positive side, about we which are alive and remain. Now, if you notice in that scripture in the book of Thessalonians, it mentioned that twice. in chapter 4. We which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. It mentioned that twice, we which are alive and remain. And I believe God, when he put something in the scripture twice, we maybe want us to have give some more careful attention to it about we which are alive and remain. And brothers and sisters, I don't believe that scripture means that we which are alive and remain. I don't believe that scripture means just because you exist and because you're breathing. That means we which are alive and remain. I don't think that's what it means, because when the rapture takes place, it's going to be a lot of people alive. It's going to be a lot of people breathing, but they're not going to be caught up. Amen. I believe that we which are alive and remain, and the word alive, we know it means to be quickened, and it goes back to the book of Ephesians. We've been quickened by the Holy Spirit, because we wasn't alive until we were born again, really. Amen. So I believe that we which are alive and remain is those that are born again, full of the Holy Ghost, and still remaining in present-day truth, still remaining serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I believe, that this don't refer to just because we are alive and breathing. Amen. But if the Lord would help us, I'm kind of new to this little gadget here, Franco, but I'm a... Right. Next slide. Okay. We got it here. I'm trying to get used to this right here. I'm used to my little one. I got a little stick at home. I can just do like that. But we can adjust. Amen. I want you to notice, I got the definition up here on remain. The word remain means to continue in a specific condition, to continue in a particular state without changing, to be left. I like that second definition it gives, to be left after everything else has gone. That's what the word remain mean. Other words, there's going to be some people that are going to still remain after everything else is falling and dropping, but it's going to be some people that's going to remain. And it also means endure and succeed at continuing on in spite of all. So the word remain and endure, they actually links together. Amen. And when I read that scripture, it excites my heart, because when it say endure and succeed at continuing in spite of all, I place myself there. And I thank God through the times and the trials and the hardships that I've been through, I'm still continuing on in spite of all. Amen. Because there's many get so discouraged in the time that we're living in, they're just falling left to right. But you know, I believe that there's one people on the face of this earth, which is the bride of Jesus Christ. She's going to continue on in spite of all. Can we say praise the Lord? And I believe that, you know, one thing about it said continue in a specific condition, to continue in a particular state without changing. I believe that word, when we talk about not changing, that don't mean that you're going to be happy every day. That don't mean you're going to feel like you're an overcomer every day. But the thing of it is, I believe that the love that you have in your heart for God, regardless what you go through, that's not going to change. You're not going to have no desire to want to go back into the world. You'll just keep pressing on. Those are the ones that's going to remain. Amen. Because I can tell you right now, friends, I thank God. I've been through many of things in my life, but I never had a desire to go back in the world and live in sin. And amen. And it takes the Holy Ghost in a person to drive them and keep them going that way. Is that right? So praise the Lord. We just thank God for his grace and mercy. Amen. Now I want you to notice here, in the scripture in the book of Matthews, because we find that there's a lot of hardships going on around in the message. Maybe ain't none here. I would verily doubt it. I'm pretty sure there are. But, you know, we go through these things in life. Praise the Lord. Is that Craig? No. Brother, you look just like Craig Boer sitting right there. I guarantee you. Anybody ever told you that? God bless you. I ain't got my glasses on, but I said, why is that Craig look just like Craig Boer? What are you doing here? Amen. But praise the Lord. But anyway, hardships, hard times are everywhere. I was talking to a brother today. He's up in Ohio, farther on up. Me and he was talking today. He said, brother, I don't know what's going on down in the South. He said, but something going on up here. I said, what do you mean? He said, it seemed like people are just not wanting to eat the word like we used to. He said, used to be a time we couldn't get enough tape. We couldn't get enough books. We just had to eat. We just had to eat. We just had to study. We just had to. I said, brother, I believe that right there is everywhere where people are just struggling. Trials and things are getting so hard that they can't even focus right. But you know, brother and sister, I want to talk about some of those things And I'm just going to only express in my heart what I believe those things are so, and that God would just help us. And I pray that I don't go too long. I'm looking at the clock already. But the scripture here in Matthew 24, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he said, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. It go back and talking about enduring again, enduring to the end. Now, enduring to the end, that means that goes to each and one of us individually. Your end might be quicker than mine, and my end might be quicker than yours, but enduring to the end, that means you keep on serving God with 100% until the day you breathe your last breath. Amen. Amen. You just keep on going on. But now, it says, but I want to just show you what Brother Branham, he says about the scripture, and he says right here in the Thyatira church age, he says, I want to give you a warning right here. He said, it says concerning the last days that because of abounding iniquity, the love of many will wax cold in the lay of the sin of the last age. He begins to put his thoughts on about that scripture. He said, self-love and love for material things will take the place of the true love of God. Now he's bringing that in with iniquity. He said, we need to guard against the power of sin in these last days. So many are getting so hard because they haven't realized the effects of this last day spirit. It's time to draw nigh to God. Let him fill our lives with his love, or we will feel the coldness of this last day church and reject the truth of God, which alone is able to help us. So we find that he's talking about iniquity, because iniquity bound in some people's lives, that it brings them to a place where they put material things and it becomes self-love. They put that in the place of the love of God. Friend, that's a bad state to get in. We don't want to get in that kind of situation. But I'm going to tell you now, if we're not careful, we're not immune to it. That's why we got to keep pressing on. See, a lot of times you got people in the message, a lot of people don't like to be honest when they struggle. They want you to think everything going fine and perfect in their life. Guess what? Every one of us got something in our life we have to deal with time to time, but we thank God for his grace that he keeps us going on. Can we say amen? I'm going to raise my hand and I will be honest. I just trust, I got my hope and my trust in him, knowing that he is the one that keeps me and I'm not keeping myself. Praise the Lord. I want you to notice now, he talking about what the iniquity can do. We're not going to try to just really dig in these things, but I just want to read a few scriptures. It says right here, therefore thou, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among my many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now he's talking about enduring hardness. Amen. And when you know the time that we're living in, it takes the grace of God to help you to endure hardness and keep the right mind and keep the right attitudes. Because you find a lot of times when people are going through hardships, their character don't seem to be too good and they ain't some of the best people to be around. Is that right? But I thank God, amen, he would help us to endure hardness, because the scriptures, it makes it very plain in the Bible that Christian believers are going to go through hard times. Because it said, all that live godly in Christ not might suffer persecutions, but they shall suffer persecutions. Can we say amen? That's what the Bible teaches us. But it says right here, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. According to the scripture, we don't supposed to be entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life. And I tell you, one thing I learned about an ambassador. How many of you believe you're ambassadors of Christ? One thing about an ambassador, I remember reading some literature on it. One thing that says, three things about an ambassador. He got to be faithful to the one that sent him. And when he goes to the country that he's sent to, he can't get entangled with the affairs of that country because they'll influence him. And he had to return back at an appointed time. And I believe by us being ambassadors of Christ, we need to be faithful to him. Amen. And we can't get entangled with the things here in Satan's Eden. Can we say praise the Lord? Now, let's just go on. Got a lot of scripture we want to get to. Here's the scripture here which we're not going to read all of them. I just got some clips of it. It speaks of the wise and foolish virgin. It said, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. You know what? What's so interesting to me in that scripture, it says they all, not just the foolish, but it says the wise also, they all slumbered and slept. Amen? Listen what he says right here. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And then he says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But I want the thing I want to get with is about the slumber part. Because the word slumber, it means to nod and sleep, or to be to sleep, to be overcome, oppressed with sleep, to fall asleep, drop off to sleep. Then it also means to be negligent, careless of a thing, linger, and to delay. That's what that word slumber means. Amen. But it said they all slumbered. But brothers and sisters, the only thing that brought that wise virgin out of her slumber was the oil, was the Holy Ghost. Can we say amen? And I believe according to the scripture, it's just showing in the time that you're living in, every one of us going to be affected. The sinners, believers, being affected by the things of this life. And it said we all slumber, but I thank God for the Holy Ghost, which is the oil that'll bring us out of our slumbers. He's the only one that can bring us out of our slumbers. Can we say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I'm just trying to show you in scripture how there's going to be hardships on the believers. Even the Bible tells us in Peter, he said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and ungodly appear? And then it tells us also in the Bible how that, amen, except those days be shortened. There won't be no flesh saved, Brother Branham said, for the rapture, letting you know it's going to be pressure upon the bride. But I'm so thankful that it also let us know the bride has already made herself ready. She's going to come up. There's nothing. There's not one demon out of hell that can keep a bride member down, a believer. They'll rise up every time. Can we say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But sometimes people just don't know how to deal with hardships. Amen. But I'm so thankful, brother. When I know my life is clean, the rock's been turned over, my slate is clean, hardship come, I say, God, just give me grace to just pass through it. Amen. Let's go a little further here. I love this scripture here. How long shall I take counsel? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep of death. He's telling us right here in the scripture, God, lighten my eyes so I won't be a slumberer. Because you remember slumber meaning sleep and so forth like that. But lighten my eyes, God. Let me be aware of what's going on. Because we're in a time where it's not only just darkness, but the prophet of God said in the message Shalom, it's gross darkness upon the people. But in all of that, I love that message, Shalom. He talked about all the negative things that's going on. But he said, but I say unto you, good morning. I say unto you, Shalom. Peace is peace in the bride. We have peace. We have rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go a little farther here. Now, this is where you're going to have to participate with me. I want to do something. Just a little journey in scripture. You're going to have to turn to your Bibles on this one, 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. What I want to do, if God would help us, I believe in Jesus' life, even in David's life. You know, in Jesus' life, he had people we would say that followed him in his time. We understand about Judas. We understand about the 70, how many would be with him, then they leaving. And we find out in Paul, on his ministry, he got to a place, he began to talk about all has forsaken me. And then we see in David's time, David had many that was with him, then they forsook him. But what I want to talk about here, I want to compare Jesus' life with David's life and then compare it to the journey that you and I are in. And I hope that God will just help us to point out some characters, point out some spirits, some things that we have to deal with and just kind of go back and forth. Are you with me? Now we're going to be a lot of reading, but I just want you to stay with me. But you're going to have to keep your Bible into Samuel, and I'll use the other scriptures up on the screen. I hope I got them all right. I kind of rushed and did this today. But what I want to do, let's follow Jesus' life. When you catch the pattern that how I'm going to go back and forth, then once you catch that pattern, it'll run kind of smoothly, I believe. Amen. Now, what we're going to deal with first, we're going to deal with David. And when we make a mention about David, then we'll go to Jesus. And then in certain points of time, we'll bring in the message of this day that you and I live in, amen, and all we live in. I want you to notice, first of all, 1 Samuel 16:1, it said, the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king amongst his sons. Now I want to read this quote right quick before we go into the other scriptures. I want you to listen to what Brother Branham says here in the Smyrna Church Age. He said, just as the early church started out under the pure ministry of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders and manifestations such as prophecy, tongues and interpretation, wisdom, knowledge and healing, so in the days of Israel when they left Egypt, they were under the leadership of the Holy, of the Spirit of God, manifested in gifts. God was the leader of the people. Actually, he was their king. Now just follow with me. He was a father king. He took care of Israel like a man cares for his family. I'm so thankful he's still doing the same thing today. He fed them, fought their battles, smoothed away their difficulties, and settled their problems. Amen. But you and I know God ain't going to settle all your problems, because he settled all your problems, how you going to grow? We got to take responsibility on some things ourselves. Is that right? But listen what he says. He just boasted himself over them. They were the only nation to which he was truly God. But one day they got to looking around and they saw the Philistines and other nations with kings over them. It caught their eyes and they decided that they ought to humanize their leadership, which it winded up being Saul. And we're going to go back to Samuel in a minute. And he said, so they wanted a king. Now notice what he said. Now God was going to humanize the leadership himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they got ahead of him. Satan knew the plan of God, so he put in the hearts of the people to get ahead of God's word, the word of God. Satan put that in the people's heart, according to what Brother Branham said, to make them to want to start desiring a king. And God gave them the king. He gave them the king. But you know the sad thing about the king that God gave them? He told them, Samuel told them everything the man was going to do, and then they said, we want him anyway. That's sad. He didn't hide nothing from them. Told them exactly what Saul was going to do to him. Said, we want him anyway. But what I want to get here, he's talking about they want to humanize the leadership. God was going to do it in Christ. But we got to a place here in Samuel. We see, I'm just going to kind of get you over here on 1 Samuel 16. We see how Saul, he disobeyed God, not killing King Agag, and maybe kept some of the sheep and so forth. And then God, it grieved God, and God said, I'll choose me another person that will reign over my people Israel. But when we talk about David reigning over Israel, it also is a type of Christ reigning on being our king, reigning over us. Are you with me so far? I'm going to go back and forth. Maybe I'll slow down a little bit. I'm one of those person, when I get excited real quick, I just can't help it, because, you know, I already see where I'm going, and sometimes I'm looking at it, I'm just excited. But I want to take my time, because I really want you to catch this story. If we catch this story, you'll see the same thing that's going on in our day presently. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, don't start reading that yet. Just hold on a minute. Let's go back to Samuel. And I'm just going to do a type. Back to 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said unto Samuel, how long would thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill the horn with oil and go, and I will send thee unto Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. I like how God said it. I have provided me a king. This is my choosing. I have provided a king to reign over Israel. And we know that Christ, he's our king that reigns over us. Amen. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. God giving Samuel a direct instructions. It's going to be a bunch of reading, but I know y'all used to reading, right? Praise the Lord. I'm sure you are. You got your teachers in your church. So this ain't going to, I just try to go slow. I'm pretty excited, but amen. Y'all can handle it. I know you can. Praise the Lord. Amen. I kind of read a little fast, but let me slow down. Fifth verse, he said, peacefully, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify thyself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, called him to the sacrifice. I want you to watch this story now. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he took on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his conscience or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I am so thankful for that, friends. You know, I'll tell you one thing. I remember when I was a little boy. I wasn't the best football player when we was little. And where I grew up, it was me and my cousins. It was a lot of us. But you know, I used to find out one thing, because my cousin and them, they was more athletic than I was. Every time we would go play a sport and or play football or basketball, you know, you get two people to pick the teams. You usually get the two biggest of the group to pick the team. But I always noticed I was the last one got picked. Oh, yeah, that's a hurtful feeling when you're a kid. I'm standing right there, and I'm smiling. They picked this one. They picked that one. I'm like, and all of a sudden, you get down to the two worst ones. And it looked like they just look at you like, which one of them you want? That's pretty heart-hurting. That kind of hurts your heart when you're a kid. They want to get the best first. Then they get the worst last. But I'm so thankful God don't think that way. He don't choose me my outward appearance or what I look like. He knows what's in my heart. And I'm so glad that's the way he chooses. Amen. Not because we might look better, this one look better than the other one, this one don't look so attractive. That got nothing to do with God. Amen. He knows what's in the heart. My, my, my. And listen to what he said. Then Jesse, 8th verse. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And then he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Let me skip some of these verses, because this would be way too much reading. There'd be no way in the world I could finish this. Let's go to the 13th verse. I want you to watch this parallel. We understand that all of David's brothers came out first, right? Call all of them first. And then after all of them came, then they waited on David to come. I believe God done this for a purpose. He wanted them to see in front of them who's his anointing going to be on, who the man that he is dealing with. And it says right here in the 13th verse, then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But this is what I want you to catch. Before David got anointed, God let all of his brethren come first. Amen. And then came David. When David came, God said, this is the man. Now anoint him in front of them so they will know this is the man that I'm dealing with. Now watch the parallel. Now we're going to go back and forth, back and forth. Go to Matthew 3. You can read it on the screen. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying the Lord, saying the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now watch this right here. It's going to be the same thing we read in Samuel. It said, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But he saw many of the Pharisees, Sadducees, come to his baptism. He said to them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath is to come? You notice who showed up first. We got Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the regions about. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees, they came too. All of them come first. Now watch this right here. That might be a little too small for y'all to read. I'm sorry. Can y'all read that? I'm sorry, I didn't know. See, back at home, I got to use dark colors because of the way our windows are. We got to have a dark background and bright letters. So that's why you might, I'm sorry if you can't see it, but we just keep reading on. I want you to watch this, Matthew 3. We notice all of them came out there first. Jerusalem, Judea, Pharisees, Sadducees, all of them showed up. Watch the 13th verse. It said, then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. You notice how he let everybody else come there first, then Jesus came. The same thing with David. All his brothers came, then David came. We see the same parallel. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answered and said to him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went out straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens was opened upon him. And they saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lightning upon him. God done the same thing he done with David. He anointed David in the midst of his brethren to let them see, this is the man that I anointed. So now God done the same thing in Jesus' life. Let all of them come first. Then he anointed Jesus in the midst of all of them to let them know, this is the man that I call. This is the anointing upon him. Are you with me? I want you to catch these parallels. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing. David was anointed in the midst of his brethren, and Jesus was anointed in the midst of his brethren. Praise the Lord. And I like to say, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. And we know that David means beloved. Jesus was God beloved, and the name David means beloved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Amen. All right. It's going to be a lot of reading. Keep up with me, please. If you get sleepy, stand up. Amen. Just stand up and shake it off and say, praise the Lord. Keep on going with me. Amen. I'm going to try to finish this in 20 minutes because I'm not going to hold you long. I want you to watch this right here. Let's go down. Let's go back to Samuel. Verse 14. It's about the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. When David was anointed, God put an evil spirit on Saul. And we can see indeed, if you follow patterns, the spirit that was on Saul in the Old Testament is the same spirit that was on the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the New Testament. We're going to follow these parallels. I'm going to skip some of this. I already see now there's no way in the world. My. Let me just skip some of this. Turn with me to, let's go to 1 Samuel. Wow, this is a lot. I tell you, I got to point this out. There's no way I can get by with this. You know, You know, spirits can get on people so bad until they won't be able to discern who is trying to really help them. That's true. Amen. A person can be doing, pouring their heart out to them, trying to help them, but because a person can have a spirit on them so bad, they can't recognize where their help come from. Praise the Lord. I want to show you something in Scripture a minute. This is something that I seen. I said, this is interesting. This is very interesting. I want you to notice, when an evil spirit came on Saul, watch this, go to the 18th verse, 17th verse. And Saul said to his servant, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, comely person, and the Lord is with him. And wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. Saul sent the message, right? And said, send me who? David. But remember, Saul got a spirit on him, right? Okay? Watch the next verse. They go to verse 21. What? David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. And Saul said to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp, played with his hand, and Saul was refreshed and well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So we can see here in the Scripture, Saul is seeming to know who David is, right? He's seeming to see, this is the man that's playing before me, and it refreshes me when he plays, take the spirit off of me. This is what Saul is saying, right? Now flip with me to verse 54. This is after David defeated Goliath. Now watch verse 54. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, whose son is this youth? He's asking, who is this? But yet, previously, David played the harp right in front of him. That's interesting, ain't it? He played a harp in front of the man in the Scripture we just read, take a spirit off of it. Now they're asking the question, who is this youth? Keep following with me. And when Saul saw David, 55th verse, and when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, who is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him to before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Saul said unto him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. But right in the previous scripture, he sat right there and got David, said, come, let him play before me. And it's seeming, I can stand correction, but I ask myself a question. Is the spirit on this man is so bad that he even got to a place, though David was playing for him previously, now he's looking right at David and still can't recognize David. And I said, God, is that the same spirit that's happening to people? You pour your hearts out to them. You do all that you can for them, and they can't recognize the love that's in your heart that you're trying to help them. Wow. Praise the Lord. That's interesting to me. Can we go farther on? Amen. Because these days, counseling, trying to talk to people, they get defensive when you start digging and telling the truth. But truth is truth. There ain't no different what you do. Truth is truth. Amen. Keep following with me. Let's go to 1 Samuel 18. Oh, man. I keep looking at this clock. Let's just follow some more parallels because I really want to get to something here. I want you to notice 1 Samuel 18, Now we notice after David gets anointed, and we find real quickly, David goes into war. He's the one, you know the story, we ain't got to go through all the details. After David gets anointed, now he goes and he fights Goliath, right? And he defeats this Goliath. You know, we find that same parallel with Jesus. We're going to find the same thing with Jesus. After Jesus, what we read here at the River Jordan, after Jesus gets anointed and we follow the scriptures, guess who Jesus go meet? Jesus go meets his Goliath. The same as David met his Goliath, Jesus go meet his Goliath. Are you with me? All right, let's just read that for a minute. Luke 4, verse 11. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Stay right there in Samuel 18. Being 40 days, notice, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan after he got anointed. The Spirit of the Lord come down like a dove. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. We see when Jesus get anointed, he go meet his Goliath. When David gets anointed, he go meet his Goliath. Now when you get anointed, who you think you're going to meet? You're going to meet Goliath. You got Goliath in your life that you got to deal with, friends. Amen. But I thank God he sent us a David in type, a messenger today. That's why Brother Branham, when everybody was talking about preaching against divine healing and all those things like that, Brother Branham plainly told him, I'm going to take my little sling. He said, I'm going to go out there and slay them Goliaths. Is that right? And you might got Goliaths in your life. Goliaths of doubts. Goliaths of low self-esteem. There's a Goliath in your life. When you feel you got low self-esteem, you got complex problems, you got doubt problems, lack of faith, those are the Goliaths. You yourself got to slay them. Amen. You got to chop the head off of them. You got to slay them. And one thing I like about David, when he slayed Goliath, he dragged the head around with him. Amen. He drove evidence around with him. I cut this man's head off. And the evidence that you need to have, friend, is a testimony that says, Satan used to beat me down with that, but I don't slay that Goliath, and I am delivered. Amen. I want you to watch. Jesus does the same thing. He slays his Goliath. Now watch this right here. Let's go to Samuel 18 now. Verse 5. David went out whatsoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Saul set him over the men of war. Notice how the scripture just words it. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. You see how David famed on one aboard. Everybody is accepting David. Let's just keep reading. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the woman came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousand, David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, and they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? Notice, and Saul eyed David from that day on. Now watch this. Now let's go to Luke. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee after he defeated his Goliath, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region about. Can you see the same thing? After Jesus defeat his Goliath, his fame goes out. After David defeats Goliath, the Bible says he's being accepted by everybody. Now everybody loves him. That's just perfect, friends. That's just perfect. Notice, and he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. The same as David was being accepted of all. Same parallel. Amen. Notice now. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up for to read. And you remember, when Saul seen David getting his praise, Saul got mad. Saul wanted to kill the man. And then nothing changed with Jesus. Watch this. I'm skipping a lot. This is the one when Jesus told them, truly you'll say unto me this proverb. But listen to what Jesus said. Verse 28. And all that was in the synagogue, after Jesus made those statements, and all there in the synagogue, when they heard these saying, they was filled with wrath. They wanted to kill Jesus the same way Saul wanted to kill David. They seen Jesus getting glory. They didn't like that. And I'm going to tell you right now, friend, when God doing something in your life, and God, if he wants to, he want to show it openly that he's doing something in your life, you just rest assured people are going to get mad. Who do you think you are? You think you're special? No, I just can't help what God doing for me. Praise the Lord. Man, I ain't even start preaching yet. I'm trying to get to my message, Brother Jeff. I ain't start preaching yet, friend. But I'm trying to get there. Praise the Lord. And he arose up. The man was filled with wrath, rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of the hill, wherein the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. That's how mad they was. They wanted to kill him. That's the same spirit that was on Saul with David. Same parallel we can see. I'm just almost done. Not done, but that's not right, brother. I don't know what happened, brother. It's more slides than that, brother. Oh, no, that's it. Now we're going to stay with the scriptures on 1 Samuel. Do me a favor, friends. Let's turn over here to 1 Samuel 22. I'm skipping a lot, but I got two things I just want to really get to. You know, after David, after all these things happened in David's life, and even in Jesus' life, David began to be on the run. Saul trying to get him, Saul trying to kill him. But what David didn't realize, all of this, remember, God anointed David for the throne. But God had to take David through things in his life to build his character, to be able to sit on that throne. And same thing in your life and my life. God knows what he got purpose for your life. And he knows what he got to take you through to get you prepared for whatever he got for you to do. God knows. That's why a lot of things that we go through in life is God is preparing you for the thing that he has for you to do. Because there's nobody can take your place and there's nobody can take my place. I can't do what you do. You can't do what I do. We all got something in the economy of God that God had predestinated for us to do. And God is going to get that out of you regardless of what it takes. He's going to do it. I mean, look at David. David could have plainly said, God, I don't mean no harm. You anointed me. You anointed me, but look what I'm going through. I'm supposed to be a king on the throne, but look what I'm going through. David never thought like that, though. He just stayed faithful to God. He didn't question God. He just kept going right on, because God was molding David. But I want you to notice, on David, when people chasing him, when David run, look what David runs into. Chapter 22, 1 Samuel 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. I want you to notice how the scripture is worded. David, all of his brethren and his father's house came to him. That's why Jesus said, all that my father has given me will come to me. Amen. And I want you to watch. It said, second verse, everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. He became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now I'm asking you a question, friends. Who in here would want to be a captain over people like that? He is a captain over people with nothing but problems. Yet God anointed him, and look what God put him with. God gave David his little army of troubled people. He gave David people that they can't do nothing for David. But they realize David is anointed. He can do something for us. Jesus done the same thing. When David was being chased, look at the group that he got. When Jesus, amen, when he was being chased by the Pharisees, Sadducees, look what Jesus got. He got fishermen, tax collectors. That was his first little group. And look what he got today in the bride of Jesus Christ. He got a people that came out of sorts of life, all walks of life, drunkards, prostitutes, alcoholics. But look what he chose you. He cleaned up your life. Look what he done for you today. Jesus chose people. It ain't what we can do for him, but we got to realize he can do all things for us. Praise the Lord. So there goes David with a weakling looking army. But they was mighty warriors. Brother Brandon said, heaven going to be made up of a bunch of weaklings. Praise the Lord. People realized that by me being weak, he was strong. Perfect strength by perfect weakness. Amen. Now watch David. David gets his little army. Jesus gets his little army. Now I'm going to skip a lot. I don't skip the whole lot. But Jeff, this really is a Sunday service, brother. But y'all, I'm going to chop it up so I don't want to hold you much longer. We just and if you read Samuel 22, you read the whole story. That's the story when Saul found out what David was. He began to play with the emotion with his followers. Why didn't y'all tell me what Jesse was? He conspired against me. And you remember in Doeg, in the scripture, Doeg, the other footmen, they would not go slaying the priest of the Lord. But Doeg said, I'll do it. He said, I'll do it. He wouldn't slay the priest of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, friends, you got a lot of do-eggs in the message. Hello? Yeah, they don't mind slaying the ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. This man killed priests. And they admitted out of their own mouth, the priests of the Lord. And do-egg slew them. And the same thing today. If there ever was a problem in this message today, it's preachers living this gospel, doing all they can to be for God's people, and they still get slayed. Hello? Let me tell you right now, friends, a healthy ox can bear a lot of weight. A wounded ox can bear some weight, but a slaughtered ox can't bear none. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, y'all don't have problems up here. Everything is fine. And everything is going good. I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. I know that's not the truth. Friend, there's problems everywhere. Let me stay on my message. Enduring to the end. Believe it or not, we still just coasting right along with it. But what I want to get to, let's go down to the... What I want to get to you is in 1 Samuel 22. Go down to 21st verse. After Doeg began to slay all of those priests, it says, in 88th, showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew that day when Doeg, the Edomite, was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Only reason why I want to point this out in my little story here, we which are alive and remain, them that endure, we that... And enduring to the end. Right here, when Abiathar escaped the sword of Doeg, he began to join David in his company. Which that right there was an advantage to David where he can inquire of God through the ephod, through Abiathar. Now Abiathar, he's a priest. He's John David. He's with David. He's going with David through all the hardships, all the hard times. He's with David now. If you will, we'll just go fast now. Go to 2 Samuel 8. 2 Samuel 8, 17. Just a quick verse, 8:17, it said, and Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests, and Sariah was the scribe. I just want to read that scripture right there in 1 Samuel 8, because David, and David's trial, and David running from here and here and here and there, David had two priests with him. That was Abiathar, and it was Zadok. We see Abiathar joined David first, Zadok joined David second. Now, if you will, turn to 2 Samuel 15. There's no way I read all of this, but I just go ahead and just, when you read 2 Samuel 15, this is when Absalom conspired against David and made a conspiracy. And we find out in the story of Absalom, that's when David realized that what Absalom done, and he said, surely our lives in danger. David said, let us go. So David, what David did, in 2 Samuel 15, when they was getting ready to leave, You remember in that story, I just love it in that story. When you read that whole chapter of 2 Samuel 15, you'll see one guy came up named Atiah. He came up to David. He wanted to go with David. And David told him, David said that, you just be with us just a little while. He said, I know not where I go. He said, go on back home. Don't follow me. But you know what? Atiah, he wouldn't let David get rid of him. Amen. And that right there reminded me in scripture with Jesus. Jesus couldn't get rid of the disciples. They said, Jesus said, are you going to go too? They said, whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So David couldn't get rid of Atiah, and Jesus couldn't get rid of his disciples. I'm just pointing out some high points in that story when you get a chance to go back and read it. But when David was leaving, he told Abiathar and he told Zadok, he said, go back, stay in Jerusalem, sit up on her, my son Absalom. He said, I want y'all to take the Ark of the Covenant back there. Y'all stay there. He said, if anything go on, just send your sons to let me know what's going on. But what Zadok and Abiathar did, even though they was up on an Absalom, they stayed faithful to David. Amen. They stayed faithful to David. Out of all those hardships, then we know David comes back on the throne. We're speeding up. I'm just going to hit all the highlights. Turn with me to 1 Kings. A lot of years don't went by, a lot of stories don't took place, but now we're going to find here another story. Absalom done what he did. Now we see David get old. We're going to see in this part here how Adonijah, he's going to decide he wants to be the king. And look what happened in this story. It said, verse 1, now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, let her cherish him, let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and they found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The damsel was very fair and cherished the king, ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Actually, them are the foolish virgins in David's time. Amen. Notice that she cherished David, but the king never knew her not. And you're going to find a lot of Abishags in this day where they cherish the word of God, but don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hello? Praise the Lord. Let's go on. Don't want to be an Abishag. Let's just go on. He says right here, fifth verse, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. He prepared him chariots and horsemen, 50 men to run before him. This is what Adonijah is doing now. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, why hast thou done so? And he was a very goodly man. His mother bare him after Absalom. He said, and he, notice what Adonijah did. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah, helped him. Now look, Joab and Abiathar, all that they've been through with David, passing the test with Absalom, but now they're selling out right here on Adonijah. Keep watching the story. Eighth verse, but Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, Shimei and Rei, and the mighty man which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. Now we're seeing Zadok staying faithful. You're seeing Abiathar, all that he went through with David, now he changed and get to the other side. Are you with me so far? Flip to another verse. I'm just hitting highlights. Go with me to 1 Kings 2. This is Solomon. He done came on the throne now. Listen to what it says. Verse 27, 1 Kings 2:27. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which was spoken concerning the house of Eli and Shiloh. Then tidings came to Joab. Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned from Adonijah after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled in the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. I want you to watch what's going on. and let it know very plainly how that Abiathar, he switched, went to the other side. But you're going to find it's over here in 2 Kings. I didn't write it down, but let me find it right quick. In 2 Kings, I want you to show you what Solomon said. It's the verse I'm looking for. I'm right here by it. Hold on 1 second. I know I'm right here. I'm looking for that verse when Solomon talked to Abiathar. He told him he was worthy of death. I know I'm right here, Eddie. Oh, 1 second. He told Abiathar, thou art worthy of death. He said, but because of all the, well, my daddy went through his hard times, his hardships, he said, I will not kill you. 26. Oh, yeah, that's it right there. I knew I was close to it. Listen to what Solomon said. Go to verse 25. The king Solomon sat by the hard hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. He fell upon him that he died. And the Abiathar the priest said to the king, get thee to Anah, unto thy own field, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. This is the thing I want to point out. All the things that Abiathar done in this story. He was afflicted when David was afflicted. He went through hard times when David went through hard times. But he didn't endure to the end. He sold out before the end. And you know what? And the main reason why Abiathar couldn't hang in there even if he wanted to, because of Eli. Because God told Eli there'll never be a continuing priesthood. And that's where Abiathar came from. So he couldn't hang in there if he wanted to. He couldn't endure to the end. He wasn't one of them that would remain. And I wanted to point this out to you, brothers and sisters. Only one group of people is going to endure to the end. It's the bride. Many can try to hold on and do this and do this. But if God didn't call them, if God didn't call you and me, we'll fall off just like the rest. That's why we ought to be thanking God for his grace and mercy. That we can endure to the end. Everything Abiathar went through, suffered with David, but come to the end and sell out. And a lot of times people, I suffered with Jesus Christ, I'm going to reign with him. A lot of people don't suffer for the cause of the gospel, but they didn't reign with him. That's why Jesus came back and sealed it all off in his teaching. He that endureth to the end. And I'm thankful, God. I'm so thankful. You're here tonight, you're enduring. You are enduring. You might be like, man, I don't see nothing out. You're enduring. It's the grace of God. You're in church tonight. You ought to give God praise for that. If I was to ask you to raise your hand, I'd probably get at least 20 or 30 hands. I can ask the question, who did not want to come to church tonight? Didn't want to come. You know, I told my church, I said, you know, I didn't want to come to church today. Church. And I said, you ought to be honest too. And this didn't want to come. But I know what's in my heart. It's pulling me. It's a deep call to the deep. I don't trust in my flesh. God is the keeper. He is the one helping us to endure to the end. Is that right? It's been prophesied, I'm going to have a church without spot or wrinkle. Now God is his own interpreter. He'll have to bring that to pass. I can't bring that to pass in myself. Oh, I'm without spot or wrinkle. I can't bring that to pass. God got to interpret that in my life. And I trust in him. It is him that keeping us. Friends, we ain't seen all the things that we're seeing today. People doing some of the most craziest things you never thought they would do. Really, we ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get worse. It's going to get harder. But only thing it's going to do, make the light shine that much more greater. Friend, you ought to be thankful. I don't care what you're going through tonight or what you went through last week or went through yesterday, any hardship or trial, you ought to be thankful, God, you're here tonight. And we can just give God some praise. Say, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. I thank you, God, for keeping me, giving me my health, giving me my strength. I put my trust in you. Yeah, I say, God, I thank you tonight. You're keeping my marriage. Because the devil don't give me thoughts to give up on that. I'm tired of arguing. I'm tired of fussing. I'm tired of going on. Maybe I need to leave. That's the devil telling you that. You ought to say, God, I thank you for giving me grace to help my marriage, to work with my marriage, not to put it away. Hello? I'm going to tell you something. One thing I like about Adam, friend, when Eve did what she did, I don't believe there was not one thought never came to Adam's mind, how can I get rid of this woman? I believe Adam said, how can I get her back? Amen. And you find today, the message didn't come to teach us how to divorce. Hello? It teaches us not to divorce. Not figure out how to get out of our marriages. Because many get quotes and try to scribble them up. Well, I can get out of this. I can get out of this. No. I'm going to tell you, love keeps a real marriage together. Genuine love, it'll keep you through all the hardships, friends. It will keep you. But, amen, I don't went too long. And trust me, friends, we didn't even get into all the nuts and bolts I want to get into in this message. But I wanted to hit the highlight of how that all the ABA did, that's a type. That's even a type. You can bring Judas Iscariot in there. You can bring the 70 in there, how they endured for a while. You can bring all those in under David's ministry and the characters David had to deal with. And if it were like that with David, like that with Jesus, it's going to be the same thing today. It's going to be the same thing. We get not discouraged. Hearts get hurt when you see people fall off. But guess what? You got to keep going on. All you can do is just pray for them and say, God, that could be me. But God, I pray for that brother that you bring him back. Help me, Lord, to keep enduring to the end. We, which are alive, born again, full of the Holy Ghost, and remain still pressing on, going on against all odds, and despite of all misfortunes, still going on, remaining in present day truth, we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Musicians could come. May the Lord bless you, saints of God. We didn't go too awful long, but I wished I had the strength to preach like I wanted to preach it. You know, I drove 9 hours today. I supposed to have been here yesterday. But the devil's, I tell you, I supposed to have left yesterday at 4 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday morning. I was all excited, ready to get on up. I wanted to get up a day early so I could just lay back a little bit. And I get a phone call. It's a job that I done. The roof was leaking. You know, a roofing leak, that's pretty annoying. It's vexation of spirit. I guarantee you. But you know, the thing that got me all of this, when I fixed this roof, I patched it up. It was guest. You know, we just pulled some things out. We patched it up. And you know what? And now all of a sudden, 3 months don't pass by, he tell me he got access to his attic. I thought it was a mobile home. That's what it looked like. He said, well, you can go up in my attic. I'm like, duh. If you would have told me that the first time, I would have went in the attic first and found what a leak was and not be doing guesswork. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, well, I'm just going to have some good services. That's because everything is going wrong. One thing about friends, when everything go wrong, guess what? You ain't got to follow it. You can go right. Praise the Lord. Amen. One thing we got to realize, brother and sister, and I always express it to young people. I said, one thing, if you just take one thought, Brother Jeff, you can come while I'm making this statement. A young boy said, Brother Burley, what would you like to say to young people to put it in a nutshell? I said, this is what I would like to say, young man. I said, whatever you're going through or whatever's getting ready to happen, I said, if you'll only just stop for a second and say, I don't have to do it. I said, you just stop one time. I said, I don't have to do this. What is it going to benefit me? I said, if you get that victory and walk away that one time, I said, you'll be able to do it again by the grace of God. But some people, they get pressure, and dive into things. You don't have to do that, young people. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. Amen. Come on, Brother Jeff. God bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord. Another good word from Brother Burley. Appreciate that so much. And I just appreciate his gift, his encouragement. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand together and just sing that song that I had forgotten. I don't know where the W was in, but it's I'm pressing on the upward way. So let's sing that. But anyway, just love the song. And I don't know if In Jesus' Name We Press On is in the same key. No, it doesn't matter, but we'll start with that one. And I'm pressing on the up. New heights I'm gaining every day. And it was ordained to be a battle. I wrote down all the parallels that Brother Burley wrote, and they were incredible. When you think about all the parallels, Brother Branham's the one who was the typologist who brought out the parallels between David and Jesus Christ. But when you really stop to realize just how detailed those parallels are, they're much like Jesus and Joseph, scripture for scripture, verse for verse. And I appreciated that. Chosen, the only begotten of the Son, beloved, beloved, anointed, baptized at the River Jordan, kills giant, goes to the mountain for 40 days. By the way, it was 40 days that Goliath challenged them back and forth, 40 days. It was 40 days that Jesus was challenged and nights on the mountains. He kills the giant. He overcomes Lucifer on the mountain. He's received by the multitude. David is received. Jesus is received by the multitudes. David is rejected by the political leadership, by Saul. Jesus is rejected by the political leadership, by the Sadducees and Pharisees. Now the same people that were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, are saying, crucify, crucify. And it's amazing because you do see that in the message. You see that in every move, but you see the very same thing in the message. The people that used to proclaim the beauty and the wonder of this message now say, crucify, crucify. And so it's just the parallels really cannot be avoided. Any age that goes through its span of revival to the death of a revival, every age has to go through that, and we are no exception. We have to go through that very same set of tests that every age had to go through. Amen. Let's just sing that song. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, on higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand. Faith on heaven's tableland. Amen. A higher plane, that's what I want, that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I like this verse. My heart has no desire to stay. Amen. And fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Amen. Lord, lift me up. Amen. And let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world. Amen. That's it. At me are hurled. More faith has caught. Oh yes, that joyful sound. The song of saints on higher. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Lord, lift me up and let me stand on heaven. Yes, I do, and catch a gleam. think about it, of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, on to higher, higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Amen. You're dismissed in the wonderful name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, we press on. Oh, in Jesus' name, we press on. Think about it. Yes, in Jesus' name, we press on and on. Dear Lord, made more than conquerors. I think that might be true. I'm not sure. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. Oh, we've been made overcomers in this life, and we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know the chorus, you know how to sing that chorus, the verses, I mean, troubles come. Anybody know that? Brother Tommy, I forgot you're here. Would you come and sing the verses for this? I don't, troubles come, I'm not going to get it wrong, so. But I like the verses to this. Amen. Beautiful verses.